What's up, Hoodads? We are Steve Geller, Bobby Hebert, Jeff Nowak, and Charlie Long, bringing you to 7 o'clock tonight on Sunday for the preseason finale. It'll be me and Jeff Nowak on First Take starting 9 a.m. Then at 11, the Cajun Cannon joins us for the countdown, the kickoff inside the dome. Make sure you meet us, Gate B, Loge Level. That's presented by Craig's Electrical Generator Service. Great spot, too, inside the atrium. Game time comes 1 o'clock. Turn down your TV and sync up Deuce, Mike Haas, and Jeff Nowak, because our home team knows your Saints team the best. Then after the game, you can sound off at the Cajun Cannon on the Rock Point after. That's a 10-hour wall-to-wall coverage block of Saints football starting Sunday, 9 a.m. here on Saints Radio, WWLAMFM.com, and live on the free Odyssey app. Also, Cajun Cannon working on Rock being an official in-studio sponsor for us with some actual beverages.
Well, who's against Ciroc? I mean, come on. Are you an American? I mean, come on.
Ciroc American?
I think it's actually P. Diddy's vodka.
Yeah,
isn't
yeah.
I think it's
P. Diddy. Yeah. Oh, isn't it P. Diddy?
He's a little bit of trouble, though. So, yeah, who knows?
Yeah, but somebody took that over.
Owned by the Brits.
That's
French.
The Sharks, they'll take care of that. You could have the same product, which is different owners, how that all comes about.
If you were out at the Saints open practice, we want to definitely hear from you today, folks, on the Oakland Heart Jewelers Talk and Text Line, 504-260-1870. What you thought out there? What was the favorite thing you saw? Who were you looking forward to even seeing in action come Sunday's game? I know we got L.A. Cody on the line with his observations from practice. What up, Cody?
Hey, L.A. Cody, what you got, dog?
Yeah. What's up, fellas?
What's up, dog? L.A., is that Louisiana Cody or Los Angeles? I think that's Louisiana. You sound like Louisiana.
Bobby, I wanted to say that one thing. But, you know, after Katrina, I moved out to California.
Wow, okay,
because,
you did.
FEMA
okay.
Allowed us to move out there. I don't know why I didn't pick Puerto Rico, but I did. So while I'm out there, when I get drunk, boss, every time I see someone in L.A., it could be, you know, Lakers, Clippers, I would say, you know, that's supposed to be L.A. L.A.
Right.
is for Louisiana. Go look it up in the damn dictionary. I'm tired of y'all stealing our fire.
Yeah.
I almost got my ass whipped quite a few times being out there.
But you are right.
You know,
that's
you gotta
okay.
Stick, you got to stick for your state, right?
I agree. L.A.
We can't stand up for postal codes. What do we have?
It's like L.A., Louisiana is L.A., period. Los Angeles is L., period. And then A., period. Now that's just a fact. That's
period.
Not, yeah, that's
exactly.
Yeah, period.
So
that's
why the
end
hell
of story.
Why do they get all the hoopla off of L.A.?
Because
why
they have more people.
This is like
they got more people. They got like 13 million people.
This
there,
is like when I argued with my people. Wife about whether South Carolina is allowed to call themselves USC.
Oh, I don't. Okay, when you say USC, that's a bunch of BS.
No, I know exactly.
Listen,
go Trojans.
I love the South. I love the Deep South. Columbia, South Carolina, no. South Carolina Gamecocks, you can be the Fighting Cocks. You can
USC
do whatever.
East.
You can have a rooster.
So we're
going
to have to ask,
I think we're going to have to ask
Spencer Rattler.
No. USC is the Trojans, the Fighting Trojans. That's a California thing. No, South Carolina is the Gamecocks. That's not the USC. USC ain't won anything.
Man.
What did they win? Girls basketball national championship? Think about USC, what they've actually won. They haven't won anything. South Carolina Gamecocks.
But you keep calling them USC, and I'm not sure which one you're talking about. Anyway.
Yeah, no, the Trojans.
Yeah.
Now, LSU better beat them to start the season. Come on. I know that.
There you go.
Yeah.
The Trojans. Yeah,
yeah,
anyway,
the Trojans.
LA Cody had something to talk about. We kind of hijacked this conversation.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, that's all right, man. Y'all can ramble on. I love it. But what I was going to ask is, Steve, Jeff, and Charlie, what information do y'all have on the waiver wire? Well, I know we got two new picks. Well, I know we let two people go. But what information do y'all have on these new guys? Like, where would they fit? Well, you know, what's their potential? And for you, Bobby, what do you think about these rollouts and these bootlegs?
Good.
Even Derek Carr exposed. Are y'all not concerned he could get hurt?
No, yeah, they don't hit.
He's
the
more likely to get hurt if you have him sit back there.
When you get out the pocket, you can't hit the quarterback anymore.
Yeah.
Or if you hit him, you got to hold him up, maybe lay him down. But no, let me tell you. Now, some people might get mad at me with this. And he went to the Super Bowl. Steve McNair, you know, Tennessee Titans quarterback. He was not
R.I.P.
necessarily reading defenses on the level he needed to, straight drop back. Now, you do some drop back, but he was outstanding on bootlegs. It limits the feel. If you look at dropping straight back, you know, you could pre-snap read where you're going to go and you cut the feel in half. But when you're doing a play-action bootleg, you got a high-low. You got usually a deep corner, or you got an over-crossing route, then you have a flat route. It's an easy throw. And if you're very athletic like Steve McNair, that's the success he had with the Tennessee Titans. That was the only time. I'll never forget this. I took T-Bob and my son, Bo, I took them to a Super Bowl, so they never could tell me I never took them to the Super Bowl. In Atlanta, I got some really outstanding tickets. Remember when the game went down, one of the best Super Bowls ever, when the Rams, Dick Vermeil, remember they beat the Titans? The game ended at the goal line.
Right.
Yes. And so if we look at McNair that year, he was outstanding. Very similar. You think how the offense has changed? It's the same damn plays back then, 20, 25 years later, that they're still running. It's the players and how you execute it. So with Derek Carr, also L.A. Cody, when I look at the bootlegs and all, you want those linebackers to be in a bind. I can tell you, high school linebackers, they're not linebackers because they can pass coverage. No, because they can fill the hole and knock you and thump you and hit you. And then, but when it gets to the NFL, you got guys that can run. They can be outstanding in pass coverage, but they still got to be able to run support. So you want to get them in a bind. Like, man, I've got to be on this run, especially if a play looks the same. The first, when the ball snapped, the first three or four steps, like the line and their technique and how it looks, I don't know. It could be a run, or is it a pass? And then all of a sudden, you got to better honor a run. Are they going to be coming downhill and they're gaining 4 yards against you? And then if the quarterback pulls it out, and then all of a sudden, I got caught up too far, then you get exploited in pass coverage. No, I love it, the whole boot concept. If you know when you do it as a quarterback, it's your friend. It limits what you have to do, your responsibility as far as reads. That's why Dan Marino's so special, because he didn't have to do that kind of stuff. Dan Marino can just do five-step, three-step right in the pocket and flick it. And I'm telling you, it helps the quarterback. I don't care if you're great, if you're just trying to make it, whatever, but if you can run the ball and do bootleg and all, if you know what you're doing, somebody, I'm telling you, is going to be open. It's very seldom when you're doing a bootleg. And then, like even Spencer Rattler, if you have success, then maybe you can extend the play. I'm not saying as far as you get out the pocket. Now, they might rush the defensive end hard upfield to try and contain you. But if you get outside and you can run a little bit, and I know Derek Carr's not going to run, then you really put pressure on the defense. No, so the bootleg, that's Shanahan, that's old school. Broncos, Kubiak, Shanahan and all that. No, that's why you had – I got to look at my notes. I saved this. Jeff, do you know out of 32 teams right now, you know, like a coaching tree. Remember how you had like Bill Parcells, Bill Belichick. So now it's the Shanahan tree, whatever. Do you know some aspect they've been a part of, 18 out of the 32 teams has some kind of Shanahan connection, Kubiak Shanahan connection, and they're all doing the same thing. And I'm telling you.
Copycat league, as you always say.
If you have success. Now, not everybody has the 49ers players. The line.
Right.
That's why it's still, the passing tree can only be so many routes. You know, they're like, look, there's new offense. We're running the spread and all that. No, you run only so many routes. Come on. I ran the run and shoot, which is the original spread. So I know you only can run so many routes, but it comes down to two things. Okay, who's running those damn plays and how you execute it? It's the horses. You got to have the players.
Not the Mike horses.
The horses. Yeah, the horses. The players. You have the players and how you execute. That's what makes the difference.
What we're going to do is take a break. When we get back, Hall of Fame kicker Morton Anderson, your homeboy, will join us right after this on WWL Saints Radio. Be right back. What's up, Saints fans? Back in here on Sports Talk, Cajun Cannon, Bobby Hebert, Jeff Nowak, Charlie Long, and myself. Happy to welcome in now the Great Dane, Pro Football Hall of Famer Morton Anderson joins us here on WWL. How you doing, Morton?
Good evening, guys, and great to be with you. Well, it's been a minute.
Yeah, it's been a minute. Boy, I tell you what, Martin, I don't know. How you feel? You feel 64 or do we feel 54? I don't know. I'm trying to go back instead of going forward. But, boy, happy birthday. Happy belated birthday.
Happy birthday. Happy birthday to you. You and Bobby and I had an agreement when we played together. We would never – it's okay to look a little fat, but you couldn't get over 230 pounds, and I'm afraid that we didn't keep that promise.
No, he's been slimming down, Martin. He's been working out.
Hey, Martin, I was waiting to get you on. let me tell you, without taking the Ozempic, what do you call that shot? I didn't do anything. I started pumping iron. No, I started walking, watching what I eaten. I'm like 235. I'm still over 230.
Oh, goodness. So, I remember when you went on this fitness kick, and we went to Necker Island, you and I.
Necker Island, Richard Branson's Island, Virgin Airways.
Yeah, right, yeah. But you were ripped. You were ripped.
Had an 8-pack.
I could see, like, striations. I didn't even know what striations were, but apparently striations are like microfibers in the muscles. And you were so vain at that time. You were flexing. You were eating raw eggs. And
are you really Rocky? Rocky over here?
Hey, listen, my wife is saying, I had two wives, and they both say I'm extremist.
Yo, Adrian.
Leo, we're extremists. Type A.
You're Leo.
Whether positive or negative, we're all in. We're going forward.
Can I take a second, guys, and say rest in peace, Ed Daniels?
Yep, absolutely.
You know, as a saint, I spent a lot of time doing interviews and just watching Ed Daniels and, of course, Ken Trahan and Jim Henderson, Larry Madsen, Buddy D, you name all the legends of sports journalism that we grew up with, Bobby in New Orleans, and Ed Daniels right there at the very zenith, at the very top. So,
yep.
You know, wanted to pay my respects many good memories with Ed and a lot of laughs. He was just a wonderful guy and a true professional. So wanted to get that in there.
Yeah, Martin, I was shocked. I mean, he was all excited. Two things I remember. I first met Ed in 1980, covering me in college at Northwestern. We were playing McNeese, mm-hmm. and I always say that. He'd always tell me, Bobby, you know mm-hmm. there were 7 professional players in that game? Not one, but like 7, McNeese versus Northwestern State University. And then Ed, when I talked to him at the mandatory minicamp, and he was so excited because ABC, Disney, you know, his channel, his station, was going to have SEC football. You know, it wasn't going to be not just Monday Night Football and ESPN, but they were going to have the Southeastern Conference. And he said, I'm taking my wife. We're going to go to California, cover the Saints, make it like a work vacation. Mm-hmm. No, and it's just shocking how life is fleeting. Ed's only 3 years older than you and I. I mean, it was just like, whoa. That was really a shock when that occurred. I know it was to you, too.
It was, and just great memories with him. And, we realize, as you get older, not going to be a bum party here, but, as we get older, time is one of the finite things that we have in life and less of it as we get closer to the clubhouse on the back nine, And so it's important to embrace the quality in every single day and the people that you spend it with, that's for sure.
Now, Martin, I want your opinion. Listen, a Pro Football Hall of Famer, that don't happen by accident. Mm-hmm. When you think about whether you're a punter or a kicker, okay, Jan Stenerud, Martin Anderson, you look at Ray Guy. Okay, that's a small fraternity. Is Ray Guy the only punter in the Pro Football Hall of Fame? Probably.
Yes, he is.
Okay,
yes.
So look at that small fraternity. Martin, tell me if I'm way out of line, because I said this on Sports Talk. I think I've said it before this time. At least I know this year. I never said this before this year. I think before 2030, somebody will make a damn 70-yard field goal in a real game. Now, I'm not saying practice or whatever, how the kickers and how every aspect of football gets better because how we train year-round and all that. And I can remember, who did make a 70-yarder. Now, this is pregame, never did it in a real game. from Poland, Janikowski, with the Raiders. Mm-hmm. He made in a pregame a 70-yard field goal. Now, never did in an actual game. And you look at, you were being a big part of that. So whether you kick it a mile higher in Denver, you look at the altitude, whoever that might be. Mm-hmm. Is that a fair assessment that you think someone will kick a 70-yard field goal in a real game? You know, we all talk about Tom Dempsey and the Saints. Yeah.
Yes, yes. The short answer is yes, and here's why. The balls are different. They're almost like rugby balls now. You have a designated long snapper that you can put on a leash, basically, and take him anywhere you want. So, you know, we used to have sweaty offensive linemen that ran plays, and then they had to put a different hat on, and now they got to snap the ball 8 yards, 7 yards. So, yes. I don't know if you remember 91, we're playing the Bears, and I hit a 60-yarder that hit the net three quarters up. It would have been good from 75, so I would venture to say I already hit a 70-yarder, but unfortunately, I was on the 50-yard line. I should have been on our own 40. We would have still made that kick.
I remember. That kick, yeah, hell yeah, I remember. Yeah. It was against the damn Bears. So, I was worried in 1986, can we get a couple of first downs against them?
Yeah, that's right. So it will happen. It will happen that you'll have a 60. You know, you already had a 66, and we just saw that again in preseason. So, 68, the kid in Cincinnati can do it. The kid in Baltimore can do it. And anybody that plays in Denver can do it because it adds 10 yards. So that's a no-brainer. Hell, Ironhead could do it back in 83 with the balls they got today, you know?
Yeah. And Martin, you know what's crazy? You know who could do it? Listen.
Charlie Smith?
I was going to tell Martin. Should hear this cat talk. You think I had an accent coming from the Bayou? This dude from Ireland? He's speaking English, whether in Australia, England, Ireland.
Well, that's where we got Morton. And after we saw him kick Tuesday night, you're like, I got to talk to Morton about this.
And then Morton is from Denmark, exchange student at Ben Davison High School in Indianapolis. He's 14 years of age, and he always spoke better English than me, even though he didn't.
Well, I don't know if you guys remember. I don't know if I've ever told the story of my introduction to American football. I know we're radio, so it's got to be quick. But I was sitting in the bleachers. I was 17 years old. My host brother was showing me a preseason game, and he was trying to explain the game to me. And it looked like just a big pile of bodies to me. So he said, focus on the center quarterback exchange. And in my immigrant mind, here's what I saw, guys, on those metal bleachers on the west side of Indianapolis. I saw a big guy in tight pants bending over with the ball.
Amen.
That by itself would have been fine, but here comes a smaller guy in equally tight pants licking his fingers and sticking his hands up the guy's behind. I turned to my brother. I said, I don't want to be that guy or that guy. He said,
it's unbelievable.
Run off the kick and run off the field. So that's what I did for 35 years.
Yeah. Listen, the only position, male to male, now it's just a little more liberal this day in the 21st century, but it's the only time that you can literally, if you're a man, put your hand between another man's butt cheeks. To be fair, and then get away with it. And to get away with it, whether it's in elementary, Pop Warner, high school, college, whatever, and it's no big deal. And it's no big deal.
I talked to Jim McMahon. Okay, Jim McMahon told me a story when he was playing. He called timeout before the first snap because the center said, I'm sorry, God, I just pooped my pants. So he had to take the snap. Well, he called time out, and he went over to the coach, and the coach was mad as heck. He's like, what are you doing, man? We haven't even started the first play, and you're calling time out. And Jim McMahon said, I told you we should go shotgun. We should go shotgun because he's spraying me with,
So I think we have the answer for why so many college teams operate like exclusively.
Yeah, exclusively in the shotgun.
Why they go in shotgun?
I can remember. Yeah. This never happened. I had a number of centers. I never forget though. I know he's still alive. I would have known about it. Wayne Radloff, from the Georgia Bulldogs, played with the Michigan Panthers, played with the Atlanta Falcons. He would always like on my hand. He would always like a little fart here and there. I'm like, well, what are you doing?
My God.
And it'd be like, now, the majority of the time was in practice instead of a game. But I was like, come on, dude. Well, what are you doing? Like,
but Bobby, you were famous. Bobby, you were famous for spitting on your face mask.
Oh, yeah.
And the saliva and the spit would hang off the face mask.
Yeah, I always looked at it as
when you went to the face, that was an easy tell for the defense, because when you went to the face mask to the spit, then you were passing the ball.
No, no, Martin, I would always spit. That was a nervous habit. I would spit, I would pass, and then even when I handed it off to Dalton or Reuben Mays, I would hand it off, but I'd always touch that. No, telling you, that helped my immune system. No telling how much bacteria they had in that. That was some nasty stuff going there. I agree with that.
Football's a gross game. I'm wearing that today.
You
have no idea how gross.
Now, Martin, I tell you what, going back to the modern day Saints, the kicker, like Blake Groupie, was outstanding today. He looks literally like a leprechaun that could kick it 60 plus yards. He is like unbelievable.
I don't know if that's politically correct, right?
I didn't say
he's not the Irish one,
right? That's funny, right?
I'd say Blake's probably Irish too.
But they could cut that off. But I mean, he's like a little man. He's 5'7", 155 pounds, but his leg strength is unbelievable.
See, but here's the thing, though.
Today was outstanding.
You say leg strength, but it's really about like the fulcrum point. Like, he gets his leg so far back.
Jeff, you're right.
The pendulum action was what lets him kick it so far. That's a remarkable thing.
Hey, I tell you what, we're in the Dom today for practice, Martin. He was outstanding. I mean, he was accurate. It wasn't like, did he make it or not make it? Blake Groupie, I think he accepted the challenge from the Irishman.
From Tuesday night.
The Fighting Irish. When you look at it, I tell you what, Charlie, now, I don't know, it looks like a Smythe, but it's Smith. I mean, he never kicked American football. Martin, you'd be impressed with him. I mean, his leg strength.
Can't wait to see him and talk to him. That'd be a lot of fun. And as long as his name is not Kool-Aid, like, help me understand. We came from Ironhead in the 80s. Now we got a guy named Kool-Aid on the team. I mean, where are we going with this?
Well, the only thing Kool-Aid McKinstry could say, maybe, I don't know. Where, Jeff probably knows this. He got his nickname. I don't know. Maybe he liked Kool-Aid. His mom gave him the nickname.
Yeah, his mom or grandma or something.
His parents never called him DeQuincy. The only people who call him DeQuincy, as a matter of fact, are his coaches. They actually call him DeQuincy.
Yeah, DA calls him DeQuincy.
Oh, DeQuincy McKinstry.
You're the Cajun Cannon. I'm the King of Kicks, the Great Dane. And then, of course, we have our king of alligators, Tommy Benn Sr. I got to give him a shout-out, because every time I come to New Orleans, he's one of the first guys I call. You got to love Tommy and from Delacroix, and I know he's listening. So a shameless plug for the alligator man, you know?
Yeah, well, we got a bunch of different nicknames. I can remember I'm room with Coach O and we had a football dorms. Now they don't even have football dorms. You mingle, you know.
Do you remember Gene Williams?
Yeah,
Gene Williams. He was an offensive lineman. I gave him a nickname called Cake Mix.
Yeah, Cake Mix. You took a shower with him, boy. Talk about an ugly body. Oh my God, it was like Cake Mix.
Oh God.
I mean, but I tell you what. I wish we had Cake. If we had Cake Mix at left guard, he'd be starting off from Iowa State. I never forget this. I mean, listen, he would be like initially think, oh, he's getting whooped, and he would always rebound. And be
great hands.
And great hands. And be unbelievable. Man. And he would come back.
Yeah.
I mean, it was like, listen, you don't use him for the. This is how I want you to do
See,
it.
See, I thought you were calling him Cake Mix because he was soft.
No, Cake Mix.
I know. It had to do with the physical attribute.
I got
the
you.
Cake Mix. You know, if you mix a cake, now think about this. Y'all probably all this.
It's lumpy.
Yes, it's lumpy. And you look at his thighs and all that. No, it wasn't flattering. No, it was like.
He got mad. He got mad at me. He heard no,
it. What was this conversation?
It was an ugly
then
body.
He started calling me the anteater. And then you can take it from there, Bobby.
Yeah, you know, in the locker room, you do a bunch of stuff and all. No, Cake Mix.
Kind of like Vegas. What happens in the locker room stays in the locker room.
Yeah, yeah. No, but like the point I was making, too, like you get different kind of nicknames. I remember, I'm in college, I'm like all of a sudden.
Shout.
Yeah.
Jim Wilkes.
Jim Wilkes. And then all of a sudden, you know, I have on I'm a rooming with Coach O at Northwestern. And all of a sudden, I got on the football dorm. And they got King Dong written on.
Milton Mack. Don't forget Milton Mack. Yeah. The meat.
Milton Mack.
You can guess why he's called Meat.
Come on. Milton Mack. Milton Mack should have been on a 7-foot body. I mean, you know, talk about. You get a bunch of stories. Yeah. You know, it's a crazy when you get together and you have fun. So.
You were always famous. You know, I'll never forget. And I know you did it on. I don't know if you did it on purpose. No, but you were always last one out of the locker room. You always sit on your stool, your booty stool.
Yeah,
booty stools. That's a no-no. That's a bad. You would booty stool, and people come and interview you. You wouldn't even put a towel on. You just booty stool.
I was always there. I was always like the nudist colony quarterback. I mean, I was like, I don't care. I'm like,
you were shameless. You thought you were down the bayou, you know, getting some shrimp nets out of the bayou.
Well, the thing is, I never. Is that modest? I was the extreme.
No, I wouldn't say you were modest. Would not be an attribute. That's you. No.
I was like, come on, we're in a locker room. What? Hello? That's where we change. I mean, everybody's worried about, you know, like, come on. So, no, we had a good time, but I never forget August 19th, you and I just turned 64.
Yes.
And I never forget Scott Case. And you never, you know, they tell me, oh, Bobby, happy birthday. Now, we're in Atlanta now, and he says, you know, you never wanted to tell. I said, no, the media guy got it wrong. It's not my birthday. Because they just pull pranks on you. You know, they'll put like a hot bomb in your jock and stuff, and all of a sudden you're hurrying up, and then all of a sudden you're on fire or you're going in the bathroom. I remember doing number two, not number one, and then they take an ice bucket of cold water and just dump it on. These are grown men. Now we're in our 30s and you're doing childish junior high stuff. And it's like
I was playing when I was 47. I was playing with guys that weren't born when I started my first year. You talk about weird. You talk about weird playing with a 23-year-old, and I'm 48, 47. And the guy goes, "Hey, I wasn't alive when you were taking your first kick in the NFL." You talk about surreal. When I signed with the Falcons, they had Jared Tall in a wheelchair in front of my locker. It was pretty funny. It's good.
Morton, always great catching up, but you appreciate the time, even though we talked a little bit football, but mostly you and Bobby reminiscing.
No, listen, we're going way back. Yeah, Martin, you know what I'm looking forward to? 2.0, Egg Vive, Southern France, hanging out in Provence.
We got a whole new house. We got a pool now down there. We got a pool and
what?
A kitchen, so...
What?
A big renovation. Yeah, Egg Vive 2.0. We're ready for you.
I'm going. Listen, we stayed there for 3 weeks. I'm ready for another 3 weeks.
Right.
You know what's awesome?
Taylor, I love you. I love everybody in New Orleans.
You know what I love about? They had a co-op wine. And you went, you paid, I'm telling you, like a $2, and you got 5 gallons of the local wine. I never drank so much damn wine in my life for breakfast, lunch, and dinner. Yeah. It was awesome. I said, why am I going back home? I just need to live here.
Appreciate your great day.
All right, Martin.
So, Steve, before we go, thanks. Thanks, Martin. Appreciate it. Steve, just something to keep in mind. Charlie has to come up with a name for that segment.
I got it.
Oh, you got it?
I got it.
Wow, good for looking at that. We got a real professional over here.
I am a pro.
We hear the music playing, so we'll take a break and be right back. I don't know how we rebound after that. Coming right back with Sports Talk right after this on WWL. Oh, you can tell it's Friday here in the studio today, folks. Believe you me. I want to thank the good folks at Magazine Pizza for feeding our Sports Talk crew on game day. Magazine Pizza, 1068 Magazine, dine-in or delivery, the best gourmet pizza selection in town. Magazine Pizza also has pasta, sandwiches, wings, and salads. Just be sure to check out magazinepizza.com. Going to take a break here on Sports Talk, then we'll close it out right here on WWL. Closing up shop here on Sports Talk. I know, Jeff, you wanted to bring up something before we checked out.
Yeah, and Charlie, I think you'll appreciate this. I don't get to talk about a lot of baseball in this show because we like to talk about the Saints and whatever, but I just came across this and I think it's really funny. So, Danny Jansen, he's a catcher for the Red Sox. They traded for him from the Blue Jays at the trade deadline. On Monday, the Red Sox faced the Blue Jays in what is a resumed game that was delayed from earlier this season. Danny Jansen was in that game and was about to bat before the game was called off. So if he starts that game on Monday, which the manager said, we're going to start him just for this point, he will become the first player in MLB history to play for both teams in the same game. He will appear in the box score for the Blue Jays and also for the Red Sox on the other side.
Oh, that's history.
That's never happened before.
And the MLB has been around for ages. And that's the
right.
That is so obscure. So you completely believe that that's the first time that's ever happened.
I don't know how. I don't think you even need to really verify.
That's insane. No, that's incredible. Yeah, I did see that. And I was going to look into it after the show, but now you explained it. So there
it's
it is.
It's such a bizarre thing.
Well, you know what, Jeff? That's a true mercenary.
Yeah.
It's about a hard gun. Okay. Who's going to pay me? I'm on your side, and I'm on this side, and all. So, no, I can relate to that.
Baseball is such a funny game, guys, because the Astros just picked up Ben Gamble off the street and played him in his first game against the Orioles yesterday. He goes 2-for-3 and adds a couple RBI hits and helps the Astros win their game. They just get a guy off the street, and he just helps them beat one of the best teams in the American League. Baseball is so stupid.
What would the comp be in football for that?
Well, you brought up a guy like Mark Cimino, right, Bobby, that was picked up late for the Saints.
And he started off. Hey, listen, this is what we're doing. You're starting week one against Cleveland. You know what I said this week, and it just happened, because he's the pass rush specialist coach for the Saints, Bryan Young.
He's jacked.
We're talking about, if you look at him, went to UTEP, the minors, University of Texas, El Paso. You know, Sean Payton's first game and Drew Brees, look at that game. We won in the teens. It might have been ugly, but we won. He had three sacks. He had three sacks in one game.
Right.
He never did that before or after. But that game, he had three sacks to set the tone.
Want to remind everybody, Sunday, the preseason finale, 9 a.m., First Take with me and Jeff. Then it's the countdown to kickoff with the Cajun Cannon. You want to stop by Inside the Dome, Gate B, Loge Level. That's presented by Craig's Electrical Generator Service. And then game time, 1 o'clock. Tune in for Deuce, Mike Haas, and Jeff Nowak. Bobby Hebert, say goodnight to everybody as we get ready for the finale in the Superdome.
All right, bon nuit, les gens. Good night, people. Hooray, go Saints.
Oh, you can tell it's Friday here in the studio today, folks. Believe you me. I want to thank the good folks at Magazine Pizza for feeding our sports talk crew on game day. Magazine Pizza, 1068 Magazine, dine-in or delivery, the best gourmet pizza selection in town. Magazine Pizza also has pasta, sandwiches, wings, and salads. Just be sure to check out magazinepizza.com. Going to take a break here on Sports Talk, then we'll close it out right here on WWL. Closing up shop here on Sports Talk. I know, Jeff, you wanted to bring up something before we checked out.
Yeah, and Charlie, I think you'll appreciate this. I don't get to talk about a lot of baseball in this show because we like to talk about the Saints and whatever, but I just came across this and I think it's really funny. So Danny Jansen, he's a catcher for the Red Sox. They traded for him from the Blue Jays at the trade deadline. On Monday, the Red Sox faced the Blue Jays in what is a resumed game that was delayed from earlier this season. Danny Jansen was in that game and was about to bat before the game was called off. So if he starts that game on Monday, which the manager said, we're going to start him just for this point, he will become the first player in MLB history to play for both teams in the same game. He will appear in the box score for the Blue Jays and also for the Red Sox on the other side.
Whoa. Oh, that's history.
That's never happened before.
And the MLB has been around for ages. And that's the
right.
That is so obscure. So you completely believe that that's the first time that's ever happened.
I don't know how. I don't think you even need to really verify.
That's insane. No, that's incredible. Yeah, I did see that. And I was going to look into it after the show, but now you explained it. So there
it's
it is.
It's such a bizarre thing.
You know what, Jeff? That's a true mercenary.
Yeah.
It's about a hard gun. Okay. Who's going to pay me? I'm on your side, and I'm on this side, and all. So, no, I can relate to that.
Baseball is such a funny game, guys, because the Astros just picked up Ben Gamble off the street and played him in his first game against the Orioles yesterday. He goes 2-for-3 and adds a couple RBI hits and helps the Astros win their game. They just get a guy off the street, and he just helps them beat one of the best teams in the American League. Baseball is so stupid.
What would the comp be in football for that?
Well, you brought up a guy like Mark Cimino, right, Bobby, that was picked up late for the Saints.
And he started off. Hey, listen, this is what we're doing. You're starting week one against Cleveland. You know what I said this week, and it just happened, because he's the pass rush specialist coach for the Saints, Bryan Young.
He's jacked.
We're talking about,
if
you look at him, went to UTEP, the minors, University of Texas, El Paso. You know, Sean Payton's first game and Drew Brees, look at that game. We won in the teens. It might have been ugly, but we won. He had three sacks. He had three sacks in one game.
Right.
He never did that before or after, But that game, he had three sacks to set the tone.
Want to remind everybody, Sunday, the preseason finale, 9 a.m., First Take with me and Jeff, then it's the countdown to kickoff with the Cajun Cannon. You want to stop by Inside the Dome, Gate B, Loge Level. That's presented by Craig's Electrical Generator Service. And then game time, 1 o'clock, tune in for Deuce, Mike Haas, and Jeff Nowak. Bobby Hebert, say goodnight to everybody as we get ready for the finale in the Superdome.
All right, bon nuit, les gens. Good night, people. Hooray, go Saints.